Crucifixion was the Roman form of execution. It was meant to be a public spectacle. It was meant to serve as a deterrent to other lawbreakers. It was a horrible death. It was a horrible death with the broken bodies of the victims sagging on pierced hands and feet. And the raging thirst that tortured them in the dust and the heat was under the gaze of those walking by. It was a very public way to humiliate Jesus and to humiliate his followers. The priests and the rulers wanted Jesus crucified on the middle cross because in their mind, he was the greatest criminal of the three. And they wanted to stage a theatrical event in order to maximize the humiliation of Jesus in front of the crowd by placing him between two robbers. There were three crosses on the hillside that fateful Friday. On the right was the cross of rebellion. On the left was the cross of repentance. And in the middle was the cross of redemption. The death of Jesus was quite different from that of the other two victims. They died without any choice in the matter. Their lives were taken away. But it was quite different with Jesus. Before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples in John 10:17, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again." The cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. And the hammer drives a heavy, square, wrought iron nail through the wrists and deep into the wood. And quickly, the soldier moves to the other side and repeats the action. And the soldier is careful not to pull the arms too tight, but to give some flex and some movement. And the left foot is placed against the right foot, and both feet extended, toes down, and a nail is driven through the arch of each foot, leaving the knees flexed. And the cross is lifted and then dropped into place. As the man slowly sags, with more weight on the nails and the wrists, and excruciating fiery pains shoot along the fingers and up the arms, arriving finally and exploding in the brain. And as he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places the full weight of the nails through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nails tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. And as the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. And with these cramps comes the inability to push himself up to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but it cannot be exhaled. And carbon dioxide begins to build in his system. And the limitless pain goes on for hours. Cycles of twisting and joint-rendering cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as the tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. And then another agony begins. There is a deep, crushing pain located deep in the chest as the pericardium slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It is almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. And Jesus can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Our scripture in Mark tells us that at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in the loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those standing near hear this, they said, listen to him calling Elijah. And one man ran and filled a sponge with wine vinegar and put it on a stick and offered it up to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone, he said, and let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. And with a loud voice and cry, Jesus breathed his last. Jesus' lonely cry of, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a desperate cry of loneliness. And victims of crucifixion usually had no strength left, especially when they were close to death. And I believe that this was the worst and the most horrible part of the crucifixion for Jesus. I believe it was worse than the beatings, the betrayal of Judas, the desertion of the disciples, the humiliation of the crucifixion, being spit upon, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands, the mocking, the emotional torment, and yes, even the mental torment. None of these compared to what he was facing at that moment on the cross. This was the worst moment of the crucifixion. Jesus was all alone at this moment. The first time in his life he had truly felt all alone, and not even God was with him. Can you hear his lonely cry? Jesus had never been out of God's presence before. God the Father, Abba, was always right there with Jesus. The two were in a habit of communicating on a daily basis. Just read the Gospels, and you will see that they had an active, vibrant relationship. They loved each other. They communicated with each other on a regular basis. Jesus received his strength in the garden because he was not totally alone. The Father was with him. And it was a very lonely moment for Jesus, but it was the depth of their relationship that helped him to say, not my will, but yours be done. They wrestled there together in that darkness, and Jesus wanted to know if there was any other possible way. But God said, no, there is no other way. Jesus asked if he could bypass this torture, and if he could bypass the humiliation of the crucifixion. But God responded, it is the only way. Jesus responded after much mental and emotional struggle with, yes, Lord. I watched the garden scene recently from The Passion of the Christ again, and it reminded me of how alone Jesus was in the garden. And then suddenly it hit me. He still had the Father. He still had his strength in the midst of that desperate, lonely moment. He still had his hope and his rock. God was still with him at this time. God gave him the ability to face the rage of the enemy and to press on to the crucifixion. He was not totally alone at that horrible moment. God was with him. But then, as I watched that passion, I came to the part of the crucifixion where he cried out in pain with those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I saw something I had never seen before. Even in reading the passage, every year, something new was revealed to me. This moment, in this time, it's time frozen in my mind and into my heart. The darkness had settled in at this point. The physical agony was ripping at Jesus' life, and then it happened. It's as if a flash flood of something foreign to his very nature entered. Sin entered into his sinless life. Yes, sin invades like a cancer into his being, and the horror of sin rushes over him. And I thought about the darkness for a moment, and this thought entered my mind. The darkness of the day is reflective of the darkness that invaded the light of the world. Light had been invaded by the darkness, and the loneliness of sin is setting in. And at this moment, in my life, I heard his lonely cry. The light is fading as sin takes over the life of Christ. He hangs there in agony of spirit and soul as sin eats at his holiness. And then the most horrible moment in the life of Christ happened. God walked away from him. God, his Abba Father, walked away from Jesus in his agony because sin had enveloped Jesus. Jesus saw God departing from sin. He experienced utter loneliness for the first time in his life. And he cried out in desperation, my God, why are you forsaking me? Where are you going, God? God, please don't leave me. Don't leave me to face this horror all alone. And I ask you, can you hear his lonely cry? He is crying out, I need you, God. I'm all alone, God. Please don't desert me, God. My friends, this is indescribable pain and suffering crying out. This is abandonment crying out in agony. This is a horrible moment in the life of Jesus. This is a horrible movie to Jesus. This is the worst part of the whole crucifixion. God has departed from him. Jesus is all alone for the first time in his life. And you might be thinking, why did God the Father leave his beloved son? And the reason is because at this moment in history, Jesus became sin for us. And God can have no relationship with sin. Peter gives us an insight to this moment in time when he stated in 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He bore himself, our sins, in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you have been like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The pain and the suffering of Jesus reached its peak right there at that moment in the crucifixion. His father Abba turned from him because of the sin factor. Remember, God is holy, and because he is holy, he cannot embrace sin. And he turns from that which is sin and moves away from it. God always will reject a life filled with unrepentant sin. And I ask you again, can you hear his desperate cry? I encourage you to think about this for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, chose to take upon himself the sin of the world so that you and I could be set free. He did this for you, and he did this for me. Jesus' most important personal relationship. The thing that he valued the most was his relationship with his Father. It gave him purpose. It gave him hope. It gave him strength. It gave him life. But when he became enveloped in sin, he lost his most important reason for living. He lost his most valuable relationship. And that's why he cried out to his Father. It hurt deeply. It pierced his heart. And it pierced his mind more so than did the spears or the nails. It wrenched deep into his soul and into his spirit. But God had no choice. God could not, nor would he, embrace sin, even in his own beloved Son. And therefore, Jesus experienced the worst ordeal he could ever imagine, the loneliness of rejection by his Father. And here is the most amazing part of it all. He did it willingly so that you and I could have a relationship with the Father. The Lord Almighty is bound by the nature of love to reject sin and to walk away from anything that is contaminated with it. The result of sin is utter isolation from God. And I have talked to many people who have said that my worst nightmare in life was when I felt I was all alone and abandoned and nobody cared about me. And it was those lonely, horrible moments where sin was in control and dominating their lives. And many face this horrible moment in life, and some even commit suicide because they give up. And I can say personally that my loneliest point in my life came one night when I felt abandoned. I was living a life of sin, and I knew I was all alone. I knew I was abandoned, but I chose to cry out to God. But you know what? He heard my cry, and he spoke to me, and he said, "Frank, there is a way out of loneliness, and there is a way out of hopelessness, and it is found in Jesus Christ." He spoke to my heart and he said, "You don't have to live like this anymore because Jesus paid the price for you." And I decided at that moment in my life, those many years ago, to listen to the Lord and to do things his way by committing myself to him. My soul, my spirit, and my body were filled with this wonderful love. And at that moment in my life, I knew Jesus would never leave me, nor would he forsake me. I would never again be alone, crying out in the darkness of sin and in loneliness ever, ever again. But I am also reminded that we cannot allow sin into our lives. We must guard our lives. We must protect our life from sin because sin comes in, when sin comes in and resides, God has to leave. And that creates a horrible moment of loneliness. And I have decided I never want to be alone in that darkness ever, ever again. And here's the good news for this Holy Week. We celebrated this morning with joy in memory of the great joy shared as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And next Sunday, we will celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and his victory over death. However, today and throughout this week, we want to be remembered and remember that a lot of suffering and a lot of agony was experienced by Jesus during that week. Thursday night, we will celebrate the Passover. On Friday evening, we will celebrate the 13 stations of the cross. We encourage you to feel what Jesus experienced as he paid the price for our sin. Because of what he experienced, you and I do not have to experience loneliness anymore. So let me ask you again, do you hear his lonely cry? Remember, he did it for you and for me so that we would never have to go through loneliness anymore. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Embrace him today. Repent of your sin. Open your heart and let the Savior in. And you will not have to cry in darkness anymore. We have a way to our Father through Jesus Christ today. The soldier standing there at the side of the crucifixion heard and saw that at the end of Jesus' life. He heard his cry, and he saw how he died. He heard his cry, and he saw how he died. And it changed that soldier's life forever. How do I know? Listen to what he said. Surely, this man was the Son of God. Have you heard his cry today? Have you seen how he died? One of Rembrandt's most moving paintings is called The Three Crosses. And if we could view it, our attention would be drawn to the cross on which Jesus died. And as you looked very closely at that fine painting, you would notice the various facial expressions and actions of people involved in that awful crime of crucifying the Son of God. And as your eyes began to drift to the edge of the painting, you would see another figure, almost hidden in the shadows. Art critics believe that this is a representation of Rembrandt himself. For you see, he recognized that his sins helped nail Jesus to the cross. And I close with this question. Who nailed Jesus to the cross? Who nailed Jesus to the cross? And I looked and I saw that the hammer was in my hands. I nailed him there.